Everybody, you know the name? The name of
Sue, yes,
Shoshana
Yosef.
Shoshana. The Shoshana Bat Chana. Okay.
That's what you said.
Betra.
Yes.
Okay. Kitavo.
Thank you.
Kitavo, we are standing now, getting approaching Rosh Hashanah, Yom Adin. And it's only suitable to talk about Kitavo. What's Kitavo? When you come. When you come and stand in front of God. How do you come? Empty-handed? What are you going to tell God? What did I do this year? Have I got any good fruits to give you? We're talking here about mitzvah Bikurim. What is the idea of Bikurim? Bikurim is the idea, I'm growing a tree, and when I have the fruit, the first fruit, I give to God. And it's one of the, let's say, the biggest mitzvahs there is, because when they used to bring the Bikurim to the temple, they used to like gather together in a center of town and then go together to Jerusalem like in a big, big parade. And they were, when they were coming near Jerusalem, they used to decorate the Bikurim, and they used to have an ox in front of them. And then happened something unbelievable. Because normally the halacha says, if somebody has a job, he's not allowed to stop working because it's gezel. He's stealing his boss if he stops working or he doesn't use the time in the right proportion. Now, even it comes to a level that if he has to daven and he is on a tree working for his boss, he is not allowed to go down from the tree to daven. Now, Shema Yisrael, he can say on the tree, it's no problem. But even to daven, it's a big, big issue. So we understand that if he's not allowed even to go down of the tree to daven because it's the time of the job and he's stealing his time, what would you think now when all those people coming to Jerusalem and going in and everybody in Jerusalem supposed to welcome you? What would you think now? That those who are in the middle of work, would they come also or not? Normally, no. They're not allowed to stop. But at Mitzvat Bikurim, everybody stopped. Everybody stopped his work, even if he was working for somebody else, and even if he took time, and always standing in Jerusalem, welcoming the parade of those who bring the Bikurim. So we understand that Bikurim is very important. What is the idea behind Bikurim? Or what is Bikurim today? The idea behind the Bikurim is, imagine to yourself, this guy puts a seed into the earth. Then he has to nourish it, to water it, to work on it. And it takes years till you have fruits. No, you don't just put it in the garden and then 2 weeks later you have fruits. You know, it reminds you when we're kids.
Jack, we want to.
It doesn't happen like this. But when we were kids, we wanted to grow a few vegetables in the garden. So we bought the seeds and we put them in. You know, kids, one day, 2 days, nothing's happening. You know, we want something to happen. And after 5-6 days, we started doing, and nothing was there, only the rotten seed. Which, again, you need a lot of patience. And here you put this thing, and after, let's say, 3-4 years, Baruch Hashem, you have the first fruit. What would you want to do the first thing? Eat it. After all the bother, after all what I put into it, I want to taste it. And you know, it's funny enough when we're already talking about something that I did. When you grow, and let's say it happens also that we let the seed there, like tomato, for example, and then we had a few tomatoes. They didn't look very good, but we would not replace those tomatoes for any other tomatoes, even if it looked much, much better. Why? Because we did it. So imagine to yourself how this guy who put so many years into this tree, and now Baruch Hashem has got the fruit. What is he doing? Not touching it. The first fruit for God. This is love. This is love. Now what does it mean today? Today also. When we start the day, we should start with what? With giving the first thing to God. What in anything we do, that's Bikurim. This is the most important mitzvah there is. To understand that God is our Father in heaven, and the first thing we do is to give God. Then, first for God, then we. When we wake up in the morning, we say, Modeh ani lefanecha, melech hai vekayam, shechzart abin ishmati bechemla rabba emunatecha. This morning I had a very interesting, I talked about it in shul, very interesting. It says, rabba emunatecha. Like in Hebrew, emunatecha is, you can say, your belief, your faith. But maybe it should be my faith, emunati. Why don't we say, rabba emunati? My faith in you is great. Why do we say your faith, emunatecha? Did you think about this? Why do we say emunatecha? And I saw a brilliant idea this morning. An unbelievable idea. So sometimes in life, things don't go exactly as we want. And we wake up in the morning and we've got no cheshek, no lust to do anything. We are tired. We are depressed. It happens. You know, we had those dreams, we couldn't make them. And sometimes in life we feel terrible about it. So listen to what you're saying in the morning. Rabba emunatecha, your faith in us is so big. If you gave me back the neshama in the morning, it means that you've got your faith in me. God, the Almighty. He believes that I can do the change. He believes that I can wake up in the morning and do things, because otherwise he wouldn't give me the neshama back. So if he gives me the neshama back, it means that he believes that I can do the change. So when you think like this, it gives you a good feeling. God gave me another chance. God gave me Rabba Emunatecha. You believe that I can do, I will show you that I can. This is a good thing to wake up in the morning. And this is the idea of loving God, giving Him the first thing. This week, a friend of mine told me a story, unbelievable story. He asked me not to say the names, so I'm not going to say the names. They have a daughter that lives in the Shomron somewhere, in a house, and his wife went to look after her grandchild, a little child. I don't know how old he was, 2, 3, 4 years, a little child, a baby. And they went up to the second floor, to the mirpeset, to the porch, and they were standing there enjoying the view, and the door was closed, and then when she wanted to open the door, she realized she cannot open the door. It's the middle of the day, it's very hot, it's summer, and she doesn't know what to do. She's got no phone because she left the phone inside. To shout, nobody will hear. It's a private home. It's a house. Nobody will hear. 1 hour, 1.5, and you know, they're getting thirsty, there's no water, no nothing, and she's afraid the baby is going to die, chas v'sholom, who knows? He's going to dry up. She climbs on the fence, goes on the how do you say, the tiles, to the pergola, looks for a place where she can jump, and we're talking about more than 2 meters. She jumps, she breaks her hip. In a few places. She crawls inside the house to the second floor, opens the door, gives the baby water to drink, and only then phones her husband to tell him, come and pick me up, to take me to the hospital. Wow. Unbelievable.
Really?
Happened this week. And when I hear this, this is love. This is love. This is to understand what does it mean. Loving God doesn't mean I do only what I have to do. Loving God is to do more than I have to do. Because I love God, I want to do more. She's Baruch Hashem in Shikum now, the lady, and everything is going to be okay. But first of all, I can only wish that nobody of us will ever, ever stand in a position like this, because it's not simple, not easy. And I believe that, let's say, most of us will do the same thing in order to save the baby, even if it's sometimes not even our baby or our grandson. But the idea is that we have to learn from those things. You know, he didn't just tell me the story. Because always, you know, when I go to, I've been now in Shanghai, an exhibition. Whatever you do, wherever you go, God is showing you things. God is talking to you. It's like when I've been in Shanghai. You see, I met at the airport a few people, and I phoned the shul in Shanghai, where normally I go to daven, to see if they have a minion. They haven't got a minion. And I saw a few religious people in the airport. You know, they're going, coming to the same thing, the same place. But you see, the exhibition is in one side, and the Bet Chabad, or the Jewish community, is on the other side. And it takes you 1 hour to go there or go back. And going back, by the way, is a torture, because nobody wants to take you. And those who want to take you, they take four times the money that it costs. And like thousands of people standing for taxis or whatever. So the easiest thing would be, take a hotel near the exhibition, go down, 5 minutes, walking, you're in the exhibition. And there are quite a few hotels near the exhibition. But you know me, as a religious guy, I prefer to be far away from the exhibition, but have a minion and have kosher food. So I was sure that everybody is like me. So I'm going to those two or three guys, and I understood quite... They are not staying there. They're staying in Pudong, which is the place where the exhibition is. Okay, you know, everybody does it on calculation. And then, you know, the next morning, you meet those people who did the same as I did. They wanted to be, they also came to the exhibition, but they wanted to have kosher food properly, and they wanted to daven in a minyan. And it's unbelievable to see it. And there is another unbelievable thing, is to imagine to yourself, we are all in the same field. It's a furniture exhibition, so everybody's in the furniture business. So, okay, the guy from New York, he doesn't care what I am doing, but sometimes he does. But those from Israel, the competition sometimes. Everybody's friend, everybody's joking and sitting together and everything you say. And I was thinking, and every time I think about it, you know, look at this. I have to go to Shanghai to be friendly with everybody, and when I come back, nobody talks with me. This is unbelievable. But this is exactly what God wants from us. God wants for us not only when you're far away from home and you look for company, then you're friends. He wants us to be friends all times.
I just quickly want to say something. When someone has made me angry or irritated me, now I say, now I have to love that person even more, because that's true love.
You know, talking about this, this week I gave a lecture to youngsters on how do you say zugiot in English? I don't know, we always get to the same.
Not marriage.
Being together, like
zugiot,
it's nowhere. Okay, you understand? No, it's like when young boys and young girls that they come to a like this is Chumus Eliyahu. This is a place that 30-35 youngsters, they come to, and every week, once a week, they hear a lecture about something. And I had to lecture about zugiyut, and I was talking also about love. And one of the things I was saying is, and this is, it's very difficult, it's not easy. My brother is a professor of psychology in the IDCD here. There. He is very famous, and he's always on television. And he wrote a letter on the internet, on the Facebook, approaching like, writing a letter to our father, Zichron Olivraha. And he writes in this letter, it's very interesting, he writes in this letter, Father, if you would have seen what is being done with this country, when you ran away in 1937 from Germany and came here to build this country with all the others, and you had those dreams to build a country that everybody is together, and really, those people, they did here unbelievable, they came, was nothing here. And Baruch Hashem, today we have this beautiful country. And you look today, before the election, everybody is putting dirt on the other. You wouldn't believe it, he's writing to my father. Is this is what you dreamt about? And you know, really, you think about it, instead of saying, what I can give to the country, this one is wrong, this one, I hate this one, I hate this one. Hatred is coming from all sides. And it's terrible. So my father, he was friendly with the Arabs from Kfar Qasim, for example. And I remember as a kid sitting with the mayor, or mayor, Rosh HaMu'atza, whatever, of Kfar Qasim, in his office drinking coffee. And from the other side, the Communist Party. Today you don't hear about them, but at that time they were quite a power here. He had friends everywhere. And he was a right-wing religion. That's what he was, and everybody knew it. But they honored each other, and they were sitting and loving each other. With no matter what you think, they put the differences of opinion aside. And this is what we have to learn. There is the man behind the opinion. You could hate his opinion, and sometimes you have to hate his opinion, because it's not ours. From the other side, you have to love the person, because he is also a creation that God created in his own image. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha, it's not something that we say just, okay, I said it. It's something that we have to live to. And it's not always easy, yes. So somebody asked me, how can I love somebody who hates me and wants to do all the bad things to me? How can I say, first of all, you have to understand, when we're talking about loving, we're talking about loving the person behind the deeds. You can hate the deeds, and sometimes you have to also to kill this person. If it's your enemy and he wants to kill you, Aba le'orgecha, Ashkem le'orgo. This is nothing to do with what we are talking about. You have to love the creation. You have to love the creatures that are being created by God, because you love God. And if you love God, you have to love what he does. And he did all of this. It's not always easy, but we have to live. This is something that has to be in our mind. In other words, when I've been, like I told you, I've been in Toronto a few weeks ago, and I met this guy from the conservative community, and we talked about it. And they say they live all together in Rhineland. It's all beautiful and nice, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But you don't agree with what they think, because this is not our way. And this is, we have to make this definition differently, because sometimes we just take the guy with what he thinks and we put it together, and this is, we hate him. And this is wrong. And it all starts from understanding who created everything. When we every day say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Rosh Hashanah, the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is to crown the king. And as the Rebbe Mekotz used to say, we are very easy crowning the king on all the world. But what should we do first? Crown the king on yourself. Before you crown him on the whole world, crown him on yourself. And this is the idea. When you understand that God is the one and the only one, and he created you and he loves you, and you have to bring back, show him your love. So when you come with mitzvat bikurim, this is bikurim. This is the bikurim. To give the first thing to God. Showing God that we love him. He loves us. So we have to show him that we also love him back.
But also, you can't build your reputation by denigrating your opposition. You can't build yourself up by pushing another man.
That's what
down.
We said. That's what my brother wrote. That's exactly the point. You tell me what you are doing. It's like, by the way, in business, all the same thing. You know, here in Israel, sometimes it's not nice to say, like, you come to an exhibition abroad and they say, oh, they're talking about the other one. This one is no good, it's no good. You know, I very rarely hear one of those goyim talking badly on his competition. He will tell me how good he is. But he will never talk badly about his competition. And this is something we have to learn also. Here, he doesn't tell me what he does. He talks dirty on the others. And that's politics, and that's business, and that's a lot of other things. And that's exactly the point. This is not the way it should be. You know, we see those politicians standing and talking to us. And you know, when you listen to what they say, the Bnei Shalom, I want to know what you are going to do for me. Don't tell me this guy is wrong and this guy is corrupt. And it's like, okay, I heard about it all the time. And this is exactly what we have to fix. We have to start looking at people as people. And to understand, to make the difference between what they think and what they are. Certainly, I don't agree with a lot of them. But if we want to build a country, if we want to build a society, we have to understand that not everybody thinks like us. And even if my opinion is the right one, still doesn't justify certain things that we see.
And we have to remember that God created the other as well.
Yes, that's what we said. God created everybody. Also, sometimes we forget the task. We forgot what is our mission here. You know, like people all the time talk, fight Yetzer Hara, fight Yetzer Hara. What, this is the mission to fight Yetzer Hara? The mission is to do mitzvahs. But Yetzer Hara stands there and he prevents us from doing the mitzvah. In other words, the fight with Yetzer Hara is only a mean to get to do the mitzvahs. And sometimes we forget it, and we're so involved in fighting Yetzer Hara, we forget that there is something else, that we have to do something. So the thing is, when we come to God and stand in front, we have to show him the mitzvahs we did. You know, in Petah Tikva they have this, I talked about it, this building in the middle of Petah Tikva, in the center, supposed to be a mall, like a business center, whatever. And really, at that time when they built it, it was the most beautiful building in Petah Tikva, in the middle, like the plot, the best plot in town, middle of town, fortune. Well, everybody thought this is going to be the thing, the place to go and shop, the place to have an office. You know what happened to it? Nobody wanted to open a shop there, and nobody wanted the office there. When I tried to understand what was, I understood there were a lot of things being done not for the right purpose. In other words, they were so in building this beautiful building that they forget what they want to do in this building. So in other words, it was not suitable for the shops. The shops were too small, were not exactly in the right place, and the offices were in the elevator. Whatever it was, it didn't work. And it for many years, everybody called it a white elephant. Was standing in the middle there, maybe two or three offices, and the whole place deserted. Also today, by the way, when you go there, doesn't look very good. And this is sometimes what happens to us. We forget on the way, why do we do what we do? And then we build this white elephant. You know, in this same building, was a guy, was an accountant office that used to buy from me all the furniture. And when they bought the office there, they took a decorator and an architect, and they did all with him, and the only thing they took for me was the chairs, because they designed everything like that. When they went into the office, 2 weeks later, they come to me to make an order on drawer units.
What?
Drawers. Units of drawers on wheels. And I could understand. I said, well, you know, you did this. You didn't buy from me. Okay, it's no problem. You know, buy from wherever you want. But I want to ask you a question. I don't understand. You build all the buy. This architect didn't put drawers in the offices. Drawers is something basic. He says, no, he put drawers everywhere. But the problem is, he wanted to save space. So what did he do? Let's imagine to yourself, you have the wall, and you put the desk like this. Comes out of the wall. Okay? Very nice. Now, where do you put the drawers? In order to save space, you put the drawers here. In other words, when you want to open the drawers, they go like this. The first one on top, impossible to... You can open it, but you cannot go into it because it's underneath the top. And even, let's say the second drawer is quite difficult, and for the other one, you have to go like under the table in order to try and put something there or take out. Genius! He saved space. It looks beautiful, but not useful. He lost the purpose. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. We have to remember always, what is our mission? What is the purpose of us here in this world? What are we supposed to do? And if we remember this, everything will look different. And we have to understand that God loves us so much. And we have to show him our love. So when we wake up in the morning, what is Bikurim. Bikurim means that think about God. Before you do something, the first thing, would God like what I'm doing? Would it like it up? When you show God that in all your daily things, you put Him in front, God is going to show you love that you cannot even imagine. Especially now. This is Elul. It says, Ani le dodi ve dodi li. I am to my uncle to me. And what does it mean? It means that now, in Chodesh Elul, God, HaMelech Basadeh, the king is in the field. What does it mean, the king is in the field? What does it mean, the king is in the field? He's always with us, God. What's the difference now? The difference now is that now it's like a father that didn't see his children for a whole year. And he's so anxious to see his children that he comes out and puts his arms wide open and wants his kids, his children, to jump into his arms, to run into his arms, to hug him. That's all. So what do we have to do at that time? Of course, we have to try and do tshuva and everything, but the most important thing that we have to do is show God that we think about Him. Show God that we love Him. It's like this kid. His father brings him this toy that he was dreaming about it. And the kid puts the toy together and then he comes to his father, you first. What feeling is this? This is love. This is mitzvah bikurim. This is the idea. And they say, Ashkifa mimlon kotshecha, look up from there on your people, Am Yisrael, and bless them. And it's very interesting because Ashkifa is normally used for midat adin, for judgment, not for mercy. And what is the Torah using here, this word? It's by Yashkifu al Zdom. When Zdom, what happened in Zdom? It's written by Yashkifu al Zdom. The same verb is written there. So why is the Torah using this verb? Says Rashi there in Bereshit, says an unbelievable thing. Everywhere where there is written Ashkifa, it's not good. Only in one place it's good. Where? In our parsha. To show us that when you do tzedakah, when you do chesed, you can change even midat hadin to mercy. So especially now before Rosh Hashanah, it is in our power to change everything. It's written like this. Ashkifa mimon kodshecha min hashamayim v'barech et amcha Yisrael v'et ha'adama asher natata lanu כאשר נשבעת לאבותינו ארץ זבת חלב ודבש. And what this is, when the guy who brings ביקורים, this is what he says, ארמי עובד אבי וכולי. And then he says, וגם נתתי, and I also gave to the levy, to the ger, to the יתום, to the orphan, to the widow, לאלמנה, and also כשול סיב, לא עברתי נצטרך ולא שכחתי, לא אכלתי בעוני וביארתי, and also I gave to the poor. And everybody before, I did something for me. So when you do this, when you base the things you do on mercy, on chesed, on tzedakah, you can even change midat hadin to midat chesed. So what should we do now? Now standing 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, what we should do is show God our love. And and have mercy on others. Let's love, try and love everybody, because he is a creature of God. And we don't have to agree with his opinion, but try and show love, because we also, our opinions are not always exactly the opinions of God. We all know this. So if we want God to have mercy on us, we should have mercy on others. And show God our love in thinking about God. In thinking, what I'm doing, is it good? Is it bad in the eyes of God? And also, do a lot of tzedakah. Chesed. Olam chesed yibane. Because we see here that even if we have midat adin, we can change it over to mercy. So Bezrat Hashem, we will change the midat adin to chesed, and we all will be written the chayim tovim u'mu'usharim. Omei.
Are we having a shiur?